You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You are now listening to the Dynasty Rewind.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dynasty Rewind. I'm your host, Michael Bauer, the best in the business. Once again, back in business. Joined, as always, by my faithful co-host, Nate, Professor Christian. Nate, what's up?
You know, Mike, I got a keep trade cut for you today. Keep trade cut. Okay. NFL, college football, XFL, or UFL, as it is now.
Don't do that to
me. Ooh, you got to make a decision.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, Canadian football fans. Your league did not make the cut.
Yeah, screw the AAF, I guess, huh? For the record, I do want to just go on record by saying that I love the XFL and USFL merger. Still think it should have just stayed the XFL.
Yeah, I'm okay with the UFL, but the XFL was fun.
Yes.
And they're not keeping the kickoff.
They're
back to the kickoff. It's kind of lame.
But aren't we taking their kickoff now?
I know. It's convoluted.
The first interleague trade. We traded kickoffs. give me some parameters here. Am I just going off what I like more? Am I going off fan experience? Am I going off?
You keep trading cut. Whatever you cut or trade, you can't watch anymore.
Okay.
But maybe you traded for something good. I don't know. Maybe you traded for the WNBA.
Well, then I guess keep would be the NFL. I would just so you know, when you go on keep trade cut, it just goes keep the most valued, trade the second most valued, cut the least valued. Okay. So I would keep the NFL. I would trade college football, which breaks my heart because there's nothing I like more than sitting.
Good value, though.
What's that?
Good value, though. Probably gets me good back.
There's nothing I like more than watching the Pac-12 RIP at 1 o'clock on a Saturday morning. And unfortunately, I will cut the UFL. But not on June 2nd, because Nate and I will be in attendance.
So that's right.
Do you have the same answer as that?
Yeah. I think it would be silly to not cut the UFL, considering the lack of value in comparison to the other leagues.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough. But that's what you get. That's what you really get when you do keep trade cut with three different leagues. And today we're telling you what we really think you're going to get from 2024 rookies. Now, I do want to preface this. Nate and I, not Nostradamus. Anything could happen. We thought guys were going to be great in the past, and they busted out. Injuries, bad situation, just didn't translate. There's guys who we didn't think much of, they've become pretty good as well. So we're going to do the best that we can to try to give you some foreshadowing on what we think some players that we like are going to be in the NFL. Now, one thing I love about this is Bob came up with this lovely topic, and he said, you pick your guys that you believe in, and you talk about them. And I love that, because there's nothing I like more than non-consensual Dylan Johnson. I actually did not mention him in this podcast, but Nate, let's kick it off with you. Who are you starting with? Give me that beautiful production comp. Tell me what you got.
Mm-hmm. I'm starting off with one of my favorite players in the first round, and that is Rome Odunze, who I think is constantly being underrated somehow, because you know it's the Marvin Harrison Jr. And then, is Malik Nabers up there with Marvin Harrison Jr.? Is he the wide receiver one? But Rome Odunze seems to never be in that conversation. Not that Rome Odunze is the wide receiver one in this class, but he is. I know it's a top three, but a lot of times it gets made out to be a two and a one in that top three. It's a top three across the board. And Rome Odunze deserves every bit of respect that Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. get. So how we set this up, we have a player production comp to kind of be like, hey, this is what we expect from this guy. And we've heard play style comps for Rome Odunze to Larry Fitzgerald to Devontae Adams. One I like is DeAndre Hopkins, because he's a great runner. He is very physical at the catch point, and he wins those contested catches outside the hashes so well, 75% in 2023. So, and DeAndre Hopkins, he's like a future Hall of Famer. How can you be comparing Rome Odunze to a future Hall of Famer? Well, it's a little bold, but if you look, I think that Rome Odunze has it well in the realm of possibilities to average basically an 80 reception, 1,200 yard, 8 touchdown season. That yep. seems like Rome Odunze's stats at the next level. Those are DeAndre Hopkins' stats at the next level. And I think Rome Odunze is capable of reaching that. Now, I do want to point out the player profiler even takes it one step above me. And player profiler has those player comps above on the top right of their page. They comp Rome Odunze to Justin Jefferson, which
ooh.
I don't know how they got that comp, especially because Rome Odunze is like 2 inches and like 15 pounds bigger. But that's just further showing the evidence of how good Rome Odunze is.
You know, I don't like that comp for Rome Odunze. I think their games are not that similar. I think Rome Odunze.
I think it's more of like an athletic comp is how they usually go about it, or like college production. I don't think they usually go play style, okay. But still, that's a little weird to me.
Yeah, but wouldn't you want to comp play style as well? Because, you know, I love your comp with DeAndre Hopkins way more than Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson, to me, more of a technician. Not saying that Rome Odunze is not a good route runner, but Rome Odunze definitely the more physical of the player as a prospect. I want to just say that out there right now. But I love this DeAndre Hopkins comp. If you're getting Rome Odunze at the, you know, whatever his ADP is, what you're going to tell me, and you get DeAndre Hopkins for the next 8 to 10 years, come on.
Exactly. Come on. And you can pick him up at the 106, Mike. And let's say he doesn't. That's according to our DR ADP. Now, let's say he doesn't pan out to be exactly DeAndre Hopkins. What's the floor comp? I like to give floor comps for these players because, like you said, we're not Nostradamus. So there's a range. You know, when I'm looking at a prospect, I can't tell you for sure exactly what he's going to be at the next level. It depends on so many things, like what the NFL actually does with these players. So for a floor comp for Rome Odunze, I'm thinking something like Chris Godwin. And maybe that's a little disappointing to some people. But not
to me. I love Chris Godwin.
Exactly. And in Chris Godwin's third year in 2019, he had 86 receptions, 1,333 yards, and 9 touchdowns. That's a really good season. Chris Godwin put that together and then, you know, dealt with some injuries after that, maybe some lack of great quarterback play with Tampa Bay. But Chris Godwin was a very good player. And I think that's a floor for Rome Odunze, which just puts, you know, Rome into a really nice space himself. So ceiling-wise, you know, I think he's going to be a wide receiver one at the next level. I think he's going to find himself putting up wide receiver one numbers as long as he goes into a positive situation. You know, there's always a chance that a good player goes to a bad landing spot for fantasy and the volume isn't there. But at worst, Rome Odunze is a wide receiver two. So I love Rome Odunze. I think he's getting kind of, you know, crapped on at times. And there's like, well, he's not an early declare like Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers. He's 83rd percentile for breakout age. He broke out at 19 years old. So just because he stayed in college another year to try and go win a national championship and got one game away from it, that's okay, man. People want to go play college football and win national championships. They don't always want to just go to the NFL the next year. So the 106, if I'm trading for the 106, Mike, to go get Rome Odunze, players I would look at trading: Kyren Williams, if maybe I don't need that running back depth and I need a top wide receiver. DJ Moore, a lateral move here maybe, but getting younger. T. Higgins, I like Rome Odunze moving forward more than T. Higgins. And then this one I'm a little 50-50 on, depending on your team build, how ready you are to compete. But Devonta Smith, you know, I could kind of go either way here. Maybe if one side has a plus, I'd go that way. But I do want to throw out Devonta Smith as possibly another one you can move for the 106.
I'd have a harder time moving Devonta Smith.
Yeah,
same. Obviously being an Eagles fan, but it's something I would definitely consider. I love this comp. I think it's fantastic. And I don't know why people hate Chris Godwin. 3 seasons from 21 to last year, over 1,000 yards, 98 catches, 104 catches, 83 catches. What's why are we hating here? Only 10 touchdowns. I know Mike Evans, touchdown guy. This offense is going to get better with Baker Mayfield. So, Neil, let's move on. Let's talk to my guy, Trey Benson. Been on him since day one. My player production comp for him is 2022 Ramondre Stevenson. If you remember what Ramondre Stevenson did in 22, and if not, guess what? I'm going to remind you right now. And this, keep in mind, he only started 7 games that year. He did play in all 17, but 210 carries, 1,040 yards, 5 touchdowns, Also, 69 catches for 421 yards and one touchdown. Now, I do think we would skew more towards rushing for Trey Benson. He is still a very good receiving back as well. Kind of an underrated receiving back. Where was I at here? Sorry. So I don't think
Stevenson necessarily is an incredible receiver, but was just an opportunity where he got a lot of dump offs.
Yeah, 69 catches. What did he have last year? He still had 38 catches for 238 yards last year. He
missed some games too.
He did miss some games, but I mean, we're talking, he is clearly a focal point. If Trey Benson can get half of the work, if he was a 1B in a system, I think we're going to be okay. But that being said, I think his ceiling is like right around running back 8 to 10. Around there feels right. Absolute ceiling. So a low-end running back 1. Mm-hmm. Or I think he's a low-end running back 2. Maybe he gets Kendre Millard, you know, a little buried in the depth chart, has some injuries, has a slow start. It very well could happen. I know that there's some vision concerns people have had with Trey Benson, but does have good long speed, really good power, and very good contact balance as well. Right now, he's valued around guys like Hollywood Brown. So Hollywood Brown, I think right now with Hollywood signing with Kansas City, you could probably move this for his DRADP is 206. So you can move him, get a little bit more on top of it. But he's also around Geno Smith, Noah Fant, and Marvin Mims. I have a hard time moving on from Marvin Mims, but
Noah Fant for the 206. Wow, he is really rising up boards then. I know that he's a sleeper for a lot of people, but I did not expect the 206.
Yeah. So that's where we're at with Trey Benson. So I don't know how you feel about that one, Nate. Agree or disagree? Yeah.
I like Benson. I think he's got good upside. I think he also has a little bit of a deep floor where I think because some of the things I said before, I don't necessarily believe in his vision as much as you do. But he's got the athleticism, he's got the home run threat, and he has a receiving ability. So, you know, I still think he'll stick around, but I think his floor might be a little bit lower than RB2. I could see him, you know, maybe just being like an RB3, but that ceiling is still there.
Okay. Let's move on. Who is your next player that you want to talk about?
My next player, Mike, and we talked about, hey, let's pick players that we believe in, but doesn't necessarily have to be positive. Okay. So I want to talk about Keon Coleman. I got a little Twitter beef on Keon Coleman earlier this week. And I decided that I needed to include him in the podcast so I could talk about him. And it's not that I don't like Keon Coleman. I believe I have him graded out higher than you or Bob for our scouting reports.
I can but find out right now if you'd like.
I just am wary with Keon Coleman because his testing numbers weren't great. If you saw his reception perception from Matt Harmon, which I highly recommend to anyone to go check out that website, reception perception. Matt Harmon does incredible work over there. His reception perception, he only had one route, Mike. That was successful majority of the time, like above average. And that was a flat route. If you can't be successful in a flat route, then you're really, really tough. But that was the only route that he was green on. So Keon Coleman's route running, really not a good look. And I think his hands are a little inconsistent as strong as they are in the highly catches that he can make. He does have a good number of drops and he doesn't dominate in the contested catches the way that you kind of think that he would. 33% rate of contested catch rate in 2023. So that, and I just said 75% for Rome Odunze. So there's a big difference there. So with Keon Coleman, when I talk about a player production comp, I still think he has a pretty high ceiling. Maybe for me, Allen Robinson is a comp I would like to use for Keon's ceiling. And if you remember when Allen Robinson, you know, was on the Bears for a little bit, I believe he was on the Jaguars, Mike, right? He was productive. He was productive, but his ceiling was not quite that of some of these other guys, but still productive. Now, with Keon, I think he also has a pretty low floor. And my worst-case scenario, while they're not the same exact player, is Treylon Burks. Because the difference here is if Keon Coleman can figure out how to play outside, he could be Allen Robinson. But if he can't improve his route running, then he needs to go inside and be a big slot. And that's what I'm hoping they do with Treylon Burks this year. And Treylon Burks has struggled outside. We've seen that. He has not been able to play at the NFL standard while being outside the hashes. But if you put Treylon in the slot and let him be a big slot like he did for a good time in Arkansas when he was in college and performed really well at that slot, I think Keon Coleman might have some better chances there. Something I've also said about Quentin Johnston last year. Would like to see him be used in the slot. Now, is this just making up for limitations? Maybe. But if we want to see production, I think that's something that we need to look at. So with Keon Coleman going to that ceiling and floor of production, I think he has a ceiling of a wide receiver too. Like that, like I said, that ceiling is definitely there. But also that floor, you might be dropping him in his third year. You might be looking at kind of how Quentin Johnston's value has dropped so much just after his rookie year. I think Keon is a very boom bust kind of prospect. And there's a lot to love with that. And the upside is certainly there, but also you're taking a lot of risk if you're drafting him like in the second round.
And you are correct. You do have him graded the highest, 6.55. I'm at 6.23, and Bob's just slightly above me at 6.28.
Yeah.
So
he's got the talent. Just can he put it together? He's raw. And he was a two-sport athlete. He was playing basketball at Michigan State. I didn't get a lot of minutes, but he was still on the team. So, you know, he wasn't able to fully put his mind into football and develop as a wide receiver. And you can see that when you watch the film. He's a little raw.
So much of our focus here is protecting our assets in Dynasty, keeping the long-term vision in mind. Aura reflects this mindset with the most important assets in your life. Have you ever received a spam call or suspicious email? It's not just annoying, it's a sign of a much larger problem. Behind these unwanted communications are data brokers, websites that buy and sell your personal information without your consent. I recently did a search for my own name online and was shocked to find my information plastered across multiple data broker sites. That's when I realized just how vulnerable my online presence really was. Enter Aura. They're more than just an online security service. They're your personal bodyguard in the digital world. Aura actively identifies which data brokers are selling your info and takes swift action by sending opt-out requests on your behalf. Not only does this cut down on spam, but it also shields you and your loved ones from potential cyber threats and hackers. Think about it. Your address, email, health records, even details about your family are all out there for anyone to exploit. But Aura doesn't just stop at protection. They offer unparalleled convenience, too. With their comprehensive suite of tools, including antivirus, VPN, password management, and identity theft insurance, you can safeguard your online presence with ease from the app on your phone or desktop. It's like locking all your doors with one key. I've made the choice to take my online privacy seriously, and with Aura by my side, I have the peace of mind to focus on what truly matters. If you value your privacy as much as I do, don't wait any longer. Check out Aura today and take control of your online presence. Go to aura.com/dynastyrewind to start your 2-week free trial on us. The link will be in the description of this podcast. Don't wait. Protect yourself today.
All right. So welcome back, everybody. And let's get into my next guy. And that is JT Sanders. University of Texas, Nate. I think his production comp is kind of like a Dalton Schultz light. Okay. And I do think that, unfortunately, you're going to have to stash JT Sanders for probably a year or two. We don't see Kyle Pitts, Sam Laporta, Dalton Kincaid. Although Dalton Kincaid, I know some people were disappointed by his rookie season. Decent rookie season. We don't see guys pop like this. And I think if we're only going to have one tight end breakout this year, it's most likely going to be Brock Bowers, or it'll just be like Dallin Holker for some reason, you know, because that's how it always goes.
Ben Sinnott, man.
It could be Ben Sinnott. I did see the mock of the mock that we did that came out on Monday. His landing spot was 49ers. San Francisco. And I mean, long term, it's okay. Kittle's pushing 30. Kittle is expensive. I'm sure at some point they're going to have to move on. But Kittle's been really productive. He's been staying healthy the last few years. So I don't know what's going to happen there. I really didn't like that landing spot. But we've seen guys with initial landing spots we don't like that have, you know, come around, gotten traded, gotten moved, guys get hurt in front of them, and they're able to flourish. So I think if in the right situation, he could be a low tight end one, a low end tight end one. Now, look, that being said, it's not really hard to be a tight end one. Number 12 last year, the tight end 12 was Mark Andrews, and he missed some time. He had 45 catches for 544 yards and 6 touchdowns. Kyle Pitts, 667 yards, only 3 touchdowns. I mean, we're talking Hunter Henry was tight end 14, had 419 yards. So to be a number one at the tight end position is not that difficult. That being said, there is positional scarcity there. So if you're getting him at, let me get my show sheet back up here, Mike, at the 208, which is what his ADP is right now, you're getting a low-end tight end one, or, you know, possibly a low-end tight end two or three with his, that's his floor, with a good bye week startability. I think that's definitely a move I want to make. And right now, Nate, you can move guys. The value is similar for Curtis Samuel, Aaron Jones, Kendre Miller. We talked on the last pod. We're concerned about Kendre Miller. You were concerned about his injuries, wasn't able to get on the field. So if you feel like you want to make a move for a guy who has a shorter shelf life, still has Alvin Kamara, Jamal Williams still there, you want to move on for a tight end, it's a move that you could possibly make.
Yeah. You know, I like something you said at the beginning with JT Sanders. You might not have a ton of production right away, and that's okay. Trey McBride, who is now considered a top five dynasty tight end, if not a top three, and at one point might have been a tight end one in dynasty before Sam Laporta really cemented himself there. Trey McBride did basically nothing his rookie year. And he was the tight end one in that draft class when he came out. He basically did nothing his rookie year, and then he broke out his second year and is now one of the top tight ends. Michael Mayer this year didn't really do a lot of his first year, but he was considered a top tight end in the draft. He might have a breakout this year as well. JT Sanders, Benson, some of these guys. Tight ends sometimes take a year or two to develop. Don't just drop them. I had someone in my mentions earlier this week asking if they should drop Michael Mayer because they have some other tight end depth. They already have Pat Freiermuth and somebody else who was pretty good.
Keep Michael Mayer and trade Pat Freiermuth.
Or just keep them all and then trade one. Trade Mayer when he breaks out, or trade Freiermuth when he has a really good season too, coming off the injury. So, I think with these tight ends, we got to give them patience. That's why you put them on your taxi squad. You be like us and you put all your tight ends in your taxi squad, then you can be as patient as you want.
Have you looked at the tight end rankings on Keep Trey Cut lately?
I have not.
It's pretty.
You mean like the top 10?
I would. Sam Laporta, Trey McBride, Brock Bowers is tight end 3.
It's a young group at the top.
Kyle Pitts coming back up, tight end 4. Okay. Who Kyle Pitts so far is only slightly, he's younger than Trey McBride and only a little bit older than Sam Laporta. We got TJ Hockenson, Dalton Kincaid, Mark Andrews still hanging on up there. Travis Kelce at tight end 8. David Njoku, tight end 9. Mm. And George Kittle, tight end 10. It's just weird.
Interesting group there.
Not seeing Travis Kelce as tight end 1.
Yeah.
We knew it was going to happen, but it's just weird. That's all.
It's a true change of guard at the tight end position.
Yeah, but I love it. I love the young talent coming in. So, all right, Nate, let's move on. Who is your next player?
All right, my next player is Marshawn Lloyd, someone who's been like an auto draft for me at the end of the second round in a lot of our mocks, early third. I love Marshawn Lloyd. I have him as a top five running back in this draft class. He performed really well at the combine. I'm really hoping that he solidified day two draft capital for himself, because if he did, then I think it's going to be one of the best values in this draft class. I comp him, play style-wise, to DeAndre Swift. And I think he has DeAndre Swift upside in fantasy football. Now, DeAndre Swift has never really been a workhorse running back. And that at times maybe for the Eagles, but the Eagles had their own running back in the backfield with Jalen Hurts stealing all those touchdowns. So, DeAndre Swift, while he's been productive, has never really been that workhorse running back. I don't think Marshawn Lloyd is really set up to be that workhorse running back either, but he's so effective and productive through the ground, through the air. He's very efficient. And I kind of have the ceiling comp of James Cook, DeAndre Swift, that low-end RB1. I think he has that in him if he goes to a good situation where they're going to give him the ball, because once he gets the ball in his hands, he is elusive, he is quick, and he's a good runner and a good receiver. He gives you, something you can do on all three downs. Now, in the same vein, at the running back position, I think he has a floor of Jalen Warren, Khalil Herbert maybe, to go a little bit lower down on the floor. But I like the Jalen Warren floor kind of, because I think that even if Marshawn Lloyd is just kind of like the backup somewhere, when he's used in those situations, he will be really effective because of the speed and the versatility that he brings to the table. So Marshawn Lloyd for me is a player that, like I said, I've been auto drafting because I think he's got a pretty good floor for a running back that you could probably pick up in the third round. And that's what I was talking about on the last podcast is I like those third round picks. I like those late second round picks because you can pick up some running back depth right now. So with that, I think his ceiling is kind of the RB2. I don't think Marshawn Lloyd is going to be an RB1 at the next level. He'd have to have a really, really good situation to have that happen. But it could be in the realm of possibilities because of the receiving upside. But I think RB2 is a more realistic ceiling. And then as a floor, RB4, a depth piece, because there is quite the range for these running backs that we don't really have, pegged with draft capital yet and pegged with situations yet. So right now in the DR ADP, he's going to the 302. Some players I could move right now for the 302 and go pick up Marshawn Lloyd, Chuba Hubbard, Jerome Ford, Keaton Mitchell, Rashid Shaheed, a lot of depth pieces that I would like to, you know, take another shot on a depth piece with upside with Marshawn Lloyd.
The truth is, you just listed four players that could lose their job to the NFL draft.
Could lose their job to Marshawn Lloyd.
That's true. And if you're talking about a floor of Jalen Warren or Khalil Herbert at the 302, it's a move you have to make. Khalil Herbert has been productive in this league. Mm-hmm. Jalen Warren has been productive this past season in Pittsburgh, although I do think it swings back, dependent on slings back to Najee Harris this season. But I love this. And, you know, Marshawn Lloyd, a little more powerful than people think as well.
He's built.
Yeah, he is. So I love this one. Yeah, let's move on to the last one of this pod. This is my guy, Malachi Corley. So I know a lot of people are saying he's Deebo Samuel light, and I get it. Okay, I understand to an extent, but I actually don't see it. You know who I see more of? Tyler Lockett.
Interesting.
Another guy who, for whatever reason, people are poo-pooing on right now.
Value's really low.
You know what I think it is? Again, this is the fantasy community trying to push things onto the NFL because Tyler Lockett won't get the hell out of the way and let JSN cook. That's what it is. I think that's what it is. Look, he's 31. The season he just came off of with inconsistent quarterback play, 79 catches for 894 yards and 5 touchdowns at age 31. Oh, heaven forbid that, you know, he's still productive going into his early 30s.
I know.
4 consecutive seasons over 1,000 yards. He's a slot receiver. I think Malachi Corley can be a version of this, given the right opportunity in the right system. He's a perfect wide receiver 3. We're talking about replacing a guy like Tyler Boyd in Cincinnati. He would look so good in that offense. There's no reason to think that Malachi Corley can't do what Tyler Boyd can do, that he can't do what a Tyler Lockett can do. Maybe his name should be Tyler Corley because that's who I'm comping him to, all the Tyler wide receivers. And I think he's a solid starting top end wide receiver 2. And I'm fine with that because, Nate, we're getting him at the 301. And at worst, he's a wide receiver 3.
Okay.
If given opportunity. If he goes somewhere and he gets buried on the depth chart, of course, all this goes off the table. Right now, you can get him for Mike Williams. Two-thirds. I saw a trade two-thirds to move up to 301, 308, and 310. Gus Edwards. Chase Brown. You're not a Chase Brown guy. Or 26 second.
I don't know if I'm moving Gus. I think Gus is a great buy right now. Because
I agree with that too.
He's going to score a lot of touchdowns probably for that Chargers team.
You know what? I'm actually really excited about Gus Edwards in Los Angeles. I wouldn't do it. I put it on here just to show you that it was a trade that was made. I think he's going to give that running back room kind of what they needed the last couple of years. So,
yeah.
And Isaiah Spiller's probably not.
Unfortunately.
All right, Nate, that's going to do it for us. So everyone, thank you for listening. Until next time, for Nate, I'm Mike. We'll see you next time. All right, everyone, that is going to do it for us this week. But if you're headed to a game, make sure you check out SeatGeek.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things live events. It offers the best price available. Use the promo code DynastyRewind. You'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Don't forget, if you want to play some best ball, head on over to Underdog. It's the easiest buy-in in fantasy football. And it's not having to worry about setting your lineups, man. That's what it's all about. So again, underdog.com. Use the promo code REWIND. A 100% match on your first deposit up to $100. Visit our store over at payhip.com/DynastyRewind. That's where you find our roster reviews. That's where you find all of our manuals and everything like that. Head on over there now. Grab some merch at spreadshop.com. Link is down below. And we want to see you in our community. And that is patreon.com/DynastyRewind. But until next time, everybody, for my faithful co-hosts, Chev Nooney and Nate Christian, I'm your host, Michael Bauer. Be kind, please rewind. Thank you for listening.